Ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll begin at verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5. Today we're finishing up our series called Pressure Points. And as I mentioned in the prayer, we're struggling with stuff that's sort of making life really hard these days. Everything is difficult. Everything is more difficult. Everything takes consideration. Every little thing takes consideration these days. And because things take consideration, there's this extra little bit, an extra lot of tension that gets raised in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I seem to be pushing it off to the background a bit. We sort of like, oh yeah, this is just the way things are now. So we have to wear masks in church. We have to wear masks when we go out to grocery stores and when we visit with others. Can we even visit with others? What does all this look like? And so we have these extra considerations, and because we have these extra considerations, because of that, we are often we are living in a heightened tension. And so our fuses tend to get a little shorter, if you know what I mean. Our tempers could be very short, and we could be very on edge all the time. And so now is more the time than ever to listen to what Jesus has to say about how to live life. Now, more than ever, probably within our lives, probably within, for most of us, and maybe all of us, now is the time to really dig into what Christ is saying about how to live and to look at Christ's life and to show it so that he can show us how to live. And so today we're looking at revenge. We're looking at revenge. And we'll be reading that from Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 38, you have heard it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. That's as far as we'll read. You know, in this passage today are probably two of the most overused and misunderstood phrases. Eye for an eye and turn the other cheek. Eye for an eye and turn the other cheek are overused. We probably have used them ourselves. We know what they're about. That being said, we need to take a look at what Jesus means today by all of this. Now, when Jesus is saying these words, he's saying the Sermon on the Mount. This is his first huge, and probably his only huge sermon, where he tells it like it is. And he's preaching not only to his disciples, but to anybody else who would be there and listen to him. Now, Jesus is speaking, especially in chapter 5, he's saying, you've heard it was said, and if you look through chapter 5, you'll see this phrase a little bit, more than once. You'll see, you've heard it was said, this line, but I tell you this. In other words, you know the law as this, you know the will of God as this, but I'm telling you, things are different now. I'm telling you this. And Jesus is signifying here his authority and saying, I am ushering in a new covenant from God to the people, a new covenant, and that covenant involves this action now. And so when he talks about, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the people knew exactly what he was saying. Because they knew this Levitical law, this comes back from the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, Leviticus chapter 24. And I'll read those words for you for a minute. If I can get there. There we go. And it says, beginning at verse 17 of Leviticus chapter 24, anyone who takes a life of a human being is to be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution, life for life. Anyone who injures their neighbor is to be injured with the same manner, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. The one who has inflicted the injury must suffer the same injury. You see, so it's sort of like here, it's sort of like the crime or the punishment fits the crime, right? God wants to make sure that in order for his people, in Leviticus, in order for his people to live amongst each other, with each other, peaceably, you might say, he's saying eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. In other words, the punishment needs to fit the crime. Because the punishment wasn't fitting the crime before. So say you went up and you were walking along and you saw Bill on a ladder. And so Bill's on his ladder and you kick the ladder from underneath Bill and he falls and breaks his arm. Right? You've willfully kicked Bill, well, you've willfully broken Bill's arm by him falling off the ladder. Right? Before, Bill could grab a knife and stab you in the heart and that would be that. Bill has just paid you back. He could do that. But God is saying a different thing here. When you kick Bill off the ladder, when Bill falls down and breaks his arm, all he's allowed to do now is break your arm. That's it. Now, it sounds sort of harsh to us, but it was actually a way for God to allow his people to live peaceably amongst each other. He was giving them these rules so that they would live peaceably amongst each other. And this was totally different from the way that things were. Now, of course, by the time Jesus comes on the scene, thousands of years later, or 1,500 years later, the people have manipulated this very phrase, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, to mean trivial things. So I don't know if you've ever gotten into a sort of a punch fight with your siblings. So it's friendly. It's not, you're not really fighting, but you sort of punch your brother in the arm. And your brother, who is like 5 years older than you, punches you back in the arm and it hurts. And so you go to punch him back in the arm, right? This is that eye for eye, tooth for tooth thing. Eye for an eye, punch you back. Well, eye for an eye, punch it back. And you see the way that it goes. And it actually got down to a slap across the face. Someone slaps you across the face. It's more like an insult than an injury. Yes, it stings. But it's more of an insult than an injury. And so what Jesus is saying here is that when you are slapped across the face, when you are insulted, turn the other cheek. Don't repay that. You don't need to repay that. Don't take revenge. You see, and then Jesus goes on to talk about, okay, if someone sues you, someone demands from you your tunic or your shirt, tunic in the old language, your shirt in the new language, give to them your coat as well. If they really need it more than you do, give it to them. Hand it over. Don't be settled with the bare minimum. Just give them whatever they need. If they really need it, give it to them. And walking the extra distance, going the extra mile, we often use that phrase too. We go the extra mile. Well, that comes from this too. It's another phrase that comes from this very passage. And what used to happen was that the Roman soldiers, because Jesus, and when the time that Jesus was around, they were living under Roman occupation. The Roman soldiers could do whatever they wanted within parameters. But one of the things that a Roman soldier could do is they could say, hey, you, I need you to do something for me. I need you to carry something with me for up to 1 mile. And they were allowed, legally, they were allowed to do this. And you didn't say no. And so say I wanted this speaker, I was a Roman soldier and I wanted this speaker to be moved 1 mile or up to a mile. I could grab any one of you and I could say, you, move that 1 mile. And you would not, for fear of death, you would not turn them down. A good example of that is Simon of Cyrene, who was happened to be there when Jesus was carrying his cross up to Golgotha. And the Roman guard said, you, carry the cross the rest of the way. You didn't argue the point. You just did it. You just did it. But Jesus says, don't just do the minimum. Do the extra. Go the extra mile. Now, why does Jesus say all this stuff? Why is he saying all this? Well, the people, of course, have manipulated the rules to do the bare minimum, to get their revenge, to do the bare minimum. But Jesus says it's all about loving your enemy. The very next passage is the next, you have heard it was said, but I say do this. The very next passage beyond today's passage is you have heard it was said, love your neighbor but hate your enemy, which is another rule that comes from the Old Testament law. And Jesus says, I'm telling you now, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. You see, Jesus is saying that he is now ushered in this new covenant. He's brought it all forward, and this is the way that we are to live if we are to be followers of Christ. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to live like Jesus, if you're going to emulate Jesus, then you need to do these things. This is the way that you follow him. Is by loving your enemy and by taking no revenge. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 12 as well. Sort of interesting. I looked at Romans chapter 12 earlier today, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not stir each other up, is what he's saying. Do not take revenge, my friends. He just puts it up very clearly here. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written that I will avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay. You see, when somebody does us wrong, people think it's their inherent right to take it out on another person or to take it out back on that person. To have their revenge, to take it back and punch them back in the arm, you might say. And this is where the whole eye for eye thing comes in. We still use that today. Eye for an eye. But Jesus said a long time ago, that's out. No more of that. No more of that. And when we think, that person done me wrong, but I'm not going to retaliate at all. I'm just going to take them to court. Well, guess what? Taking somebody to court can be a form of retaliation as well, a form of revenge, especially if you tend to clean that person out, if you tend to take them for all they're worth. Now, why is it that we want this revenge so much? Why is it that we love this so much? Why do we think that when we turn the other cheek, so to say, that we're weak? Our television stations, our movies, our songs, and our stories that we read are full of people that are the heroes who get revenge upon people. They go out and they get revenge. You know, and I'm going to share some. The song that comes up for me the most about all of this is Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers, I know I'm dating myself. Kenny Rogers, Coward of the County. A Coward of the County is a ballad. You know the ballad, right? You know the story. And the story is, there's this kid named Tommy, and he promised his dad who was in prison that he was going to never fight. He's not going to fight. And his dad comes up and he says, you'd never fight. And his dad dies in prison, and Tommy promised him that he'd never fight. And Tommy lives for 20 years or something like that. He finds his girlfriend, and they're living good. He's been called the Coward of the County before. They called him Yellow, meaning Coward of the County, or that he's a coward. And then the Gatlin boys show up, and they sexually assault Becky, his girlfriend. And he goes and locks them up in a hotel room or in a bar room. He locks the door, and then he lets them have it all. And this song, for us, face it, it's sort of a feel-good song, isn't it? Tommy let him have it. Tommy punched them right out. Tommy nailed them to the wall. Why does it make us feel so good? Why do we want the stories of revenge? Say in movies, Kill Bill. Movies from way back. Kill Bill, I'm not recommending it, but still, it's very graphic. You know, these stories, these movies, they have these, and we love it, we drink it in. Why? Well, it's part of our fallen, sinful human nature. We want to have that right to be able to retaliate. We want that. They owe us that. When they did us wrong, they owed us the right to strike back. But God's saying, no, no, no. You don't have that right. You don't have that right. It's mine. It's mine to avenge, says God. It's mine to repay. See, you're taking that away from God, that right to retaliate. You're taking it away from God. He says, leave it with me. Because the sin that person did to you is no worse than the sin that you did to me. You see, at some time, we are all going to have to account for what we've done at some point. We will all have to account. The person who done the bad thing to you will have to account for what he's done to you or she's done to you. The person who you've done wrong, you'll have to account for that. The good news is that we can stand before God, boldly before God, and say, when God asks us, what are you going to say about the sins that you've amassed over the years? And I could say, well, I can't stand on a leg, God. I've got nothing. I'm guilty of it all. But Jesus has taken it all upon his shoulders, and I'm trusting in him. You see, to learn to live like Jesus is to learn to let it go. Let God have his way. Let God have that last say. Let God have his vengeance. I'll just continue reading from Romans 12, where it says, "This is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if," and Paul's quoting, the Apostle Paul is quoting a proverb here from Proverbs, I think it's 23. "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you're going to agitate him more than you ever would. My parents used to say that, you kill them with kindness. And that's a real rough way of saying it, I think. But it sort of gets the point across. You have to love your enemy. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? The Good Samaritan ended up being the neighbor in that story for Jesus. When Jesus said that story, and who is your neighbor? The person that you would least expect. Vengeance is God's. Leave it with him. And live in peace with each other. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to continue to understand exactly what your love is all about. You know, sometimes we think that we can get away with stuff, Lord. Sometimes we think that we have the right to lash out at people. Sometimes we think we have the right, when that right is yours. So help us to leave it with you. Help us not to seek revenge. Help us to seek out your will through everything that we do. Help us to live how Jesus taught us to live. And we need your help in that in the most severe way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.